You're listening to a message that's being brought to you by International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God, which you're about to receive.
Not give in to peer pressure, but be peer pressure. Let our light so shine before men, they may see our good works and glorify our Father, which is in heaven. So don't be ashamed to be a Christian. Come on. Don't be ashamed to stand up for Jesus. The world is waiting for someone that'll stand up for something. Because we stand for, you know, I don't want to get political. I'm trying not to be political, you know. If we stand for nothing, we'll fall for everything. And there are things we stand for. We're Christians. We're believers. Hallelujah. Believe in Jesus. We believe in the Bible. Nothing. It may not be politically correct, but we're not interested in political correctness. I'm interested in biblical correctness, not political correctness. I'm interested in heaven. Are you with me? In fact, heaven's our home. This earth will be changed, and we'll live in a new earth one day. Be totally different. But I'm not interested in pleasing everybody. I'm not trying to make people mad. I'm not trying to make enemies. But I do want to please God. Amen. I want to seek to please him. I don't want to seek to offend anybody, you know, but come on. If we can't stand up for Jesus, the ultimate reality, stand up for being a Christian because it offends someone. Well, I don't know how offensive it was Jesus hanging on a cross, but he did it anyway. Are you with me? And I don't know how offensive it was when he rolled that stone back and came out of that grave, but he did it anyway. Yeah. Amen. So we got a message to preach. Amen. And if we love people, we want them to hear it. People need Jesus. Amen. There's only one way to heaven. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And the good news is the gate is open. What are you doing in the prison? The good news, he doesn't want anyone to perish. He wants no one to go to hell. We're not hell preachers. We're heaven preachers. Amen. I mean, people, you know, get all out of whack about that. And they'll say, well, we need more hellfire, brimstone preaching. No, we need more heaven preaching. You say you don't believe in hell? Of course there's a hell. There's a hell to shun, but there's a heaven to gain. And the good news is you don't have to go to hell. You can go to heaven. So we preach the good news. Thank you for your enthusiasm. If you wanted bad news, you came to the wrong place today. All right, everybody have your Bibles. If you will, turn to Philippians 4, and we will get there eventually after I lead up to it. You know, a couple weeks ago we started a series on peace and how that, you know, we several points that peace comes from what you think on. Peace comes from Jesus ultimately. It's in Jesus. Jesus said, you know, be of good cheer. He said, in the world you have tribulation. Be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. In me you have peace. So we've got peace in Jesus. He's the Prince of Peace. He's God of peace. And his government is a government of peace. So we know peace is in Jesus, not in anything out here that you could ever have or ever do. And I believe God wants to bless you. I believe God wants to prosper you. I believe God wants to heal you. I believe God wants you to have a decent, you know, life. I mean, come on. God's not against that. He said give to the poor. He didn't say leave them poor. Are you out there? He did say by his stripes we were healed. He did say go lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. We're for hospitals and medicine and doctors and getting people well. In fact, if you're sick, let's get well. Let us pray for you. Amen. If you're taking medicine, take it. Don't throw it away. God wants you well. Right. You know, and as far as prosperity is concerned, if you're able to work, get a job. Right. Hello. God's for you prospering. And, of course, God's number one way to prosper you is that four-letter word called work. But anyway. And if you're retired, you know, that's get that paycheck. Take advantage of what you know, Social Security is not some benefit. Come on. Social Security is what you earned and paid for your whole life. The government kept your money all those years. It's time to get your money back. So don't feel like you got to back up and get your check. Social Security, that's not a benefit. Come on. Okay. And, you know, if you're not able to work, there are welfare programs. And I think welfare is good for those that cannot work. Are you with me? The problem is we have so many people that can and that shouldn't be on it that it's messed up. We're abusing the system, but I'm not against welfare. We're not against helping people that need help. We have a food bank every week here. What are you talking about? We want to help people. Amen. But what I'm saying is that, you know, having said that, we need to know that nothing out here, none of that is going to give us peace. Peace comes from Jesus. Peace comes even when you're in the battle. Peace can come even when you're down and things are not looking good, peace can come being in Jesus because you know how it's going to turn out. We're going to win this deal. Hallelujah. God has not forsaken us. Amen. And I may be down, but I'm not staying down. Amen. And that's right. I'm either up or I'm getting up. One of the two. So you may be having a tough time right now, but look up. Your redemption draws nigh. Not just heavenly, not just eternal, but God will get you through messes even here on this earth. And you can turn your mess into a message by trusting God. Amen. Hallelujah. So peace, you know, it's in Jesus. It's what we think on. It comes from believing and trusting God. In fact, we start out with Isaiah 26:3. You don't have to turn there. Everybody got Philippians 4? Okay. Just hold your place there. Isaiah 26:3 says, "Thou wilt keep him in peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee." Amen. Hallelujah, somebody.
Amen.
So there we find that, actually what I'm going to teach on today is that peace is a mindset. It's what you think on. It's not what's happening to you. It's what you think on. It's not the circumstances that you're in, be they good, bad, or indifferent. It is what you think on. It's what you meditate on. And the Bible says that perfect peace, Bible says if you keep your mind stayed on him, okay, trust in him, because it says, because he trusted in thee, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed or fixed or focused on him. Because he trusteth in him. He's not just thinking about the Lord, but he's trusting the Lord.
Amen.
Amen? Yes. We're not just thinking about his goodness and his greatness and not thinking about his power, not just thinking about him being on the throne, but thinking about trusting him. Get it? And that he's going to help me. He's going to come through.
Yes.
It's like that lady said, and wasn't very educated, and she's old, and she was praying, and she came to God, and she says, she was in a mess, you know, and she said, "Lord, I don't know a whole lot. I just know if I was up there and you were down here, I'd help you." And that's kind of the truth, isn't it? I mean, wouldn't you help God if he needed help? He's never going to need it, don't get me wrong. But God wants to help us. He loves us. He's for us. And we need to trust God, not just think about him, but trust him as we think about him. It's a focus. It's what we think on. Important to think the right way. Amen? You know, I read this in actually, it was a John Maxwell book called Make Today Count. And I don't just read John. I've read a lot of books. I actually read the Bible every once in a while, too. But he said this, nobody can make you happy. That's your job. Now, I know we just got through saying Jesus, it was in Jesus. Yeah, but you have to focus on him. You have to call on him. And whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And if you ask, you receive. And if you seek, you find. And if you knock, the door is open. Everyone that asketh, receiveth. And everyone that knocketh, the door is open. Everyone that seeketh, findeth. Jesus the one said that. Matthew 7:7. And so there is a human element, as it were. And the human element is to open the door, to ask, to come, to seek, to knock. Are you with me? So nobody can make you happy. That's your job. If you want today to be a good day, you need to take charge of the way you look at it, what you're thinking about. Are you thinking about all that can go wrong today, or are you thinking about what can go right? Are you thinking about your inabilities, your limitations, or are you thinking about God's unlimited power and presence and promises? Wow. Man, that changes everything. When I put everything today in the hands of God and his promises and trust him, I start thinking differently. I start thinking I was born to overcome. I start thinking I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus and old things are passed away and all things become new. I start thinking I'm washed in the blood, my sins are forgiven, and I'm loved and accepted by God. I'm not trying to get accepted, I am accepted.
Amen?
Amen?
Yeah.
I'm not trying to get saved, I am saved.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to be a saint, I am a saint.
Yeah.
Now think about it. I'm a saint because of what Jesus did, not because of what I did. I'm accepted because of what he did, not because of what I did. I'm loved because of what he did, not because of what I did. That's a done deal. Oh, glory, hallelujah, somebody. Y'all calm down. I know you're excited. But see, I've got everything to rejoice about already. I've already won. I've already got the victory. I've already overcome. He that believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, 1 John 5:1 says, and if you go right on down the fourth, fifth, sixth verse, it says, and who is he that overcometh the world? He that believes that Jesus is the Christ. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Wow. So no matter what the world throws at me, I'm an overcomer. No matter what it looks like, I'm an overcomer. No matter how it seems to turn out or how I feel, I am an overcomer. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Woo! That ought to get you excited. Amen? So, nobody can make you happy. That's your job. But it comes from what you think on. I mean, the sun can be shining, the birds can be singing. I mean, it can be a beautiful day in Texas, and you know, sometimes it's that way. Next day it may be freezing, I don't know, but you know, next day it may be hot. But it can be, it's not like, say, in Australia, they have a saying in Queensland, Australia, Dr. Budge, y'all remember Dr. Budge? He's in heaven. But he used to say in Queensland, Australia, which is on the East Coast, he said, oh, another beautiful day in paradise. He says, another sunny day in paradise, beautiful one day and perfect the next. You know, I know Texas can go up and down on the chart, but whatever the case may be, whatever the outside is going on, it's what you're thinking about that makes you happy or makes you sad. You can have a tragedy in your life and it can be sunshiny and the birds can be singing and you can be sad. Are you with me? So it's not what's going on. It's what outside, it's what's going on inside that determines your level of joy or your level of peace. Amen? So peace is a mindset. John Milton, Paradise Lost. Y'all remember that Paradise Lost? Anybody ever read that? What do they teach in school nowadays? He wrote this classic called Paradise Lost, you know, which was the fall of man. And it was written in more prose than rhyme. And he said it there, the mind is its own place and itself can make a heaven of hell and a hell of heaven. Think about it. It's not the outside, it's the inside. We got to get a hold of our thinking. Get a hold of what we think about. You know, where are we going with this? I know in a tragedy, one of the things I say, especially in the loss of a loved one, one of the things I like to share with people in a time like that, what can you share that immediately that's going to give them comfort? Nothing, but you can help them direct their thoughts. I always tell people, especially when they lost a loved one, don't plan your whole life out right now.
Yeah, that's right.
Don't do that. Don't even go there. Because it'll always be bad if you try to plan it right then. Yeah. It'll always be empty. It'll always be vacant. It'll always be full of hurt. Just get through today and get through the next day. And little by little, God will heal and you'll never forget. But you know what? It's going to be better than you think it is right now. But your mind goes nuts. Your mind goes crazy. Your mind can't see anything but pain down the road. And that's a lie. Don't buy that lie. This will pass. Brother Osteen used to always say this. John Osteen, that was Joel Osteen's dad. He used to always say this. He said, when something bad happened, he said, it just came to pass. It didn't come to stay. Amen. You know, the Bible says many times, it came to pass. It came to pass. Well, hey, bad things just come to pass. They don't come to stay. Hallelujah. Philippians 4, found it? Told you we'd get there. Notice what it says in the 6th verse, be careful or anxious or fretful for nothing. Now, that's not like we say careful when someone leaves the house. With y'all be careful. You know, when they're fixing to leave, because you always fix and do something in Texas. And then y'all is y'all. I'm trying to educate Michael over here because, you know, coming down from Michigan. But we'll say, y'all be careful. You hear? You know, anyway. And then your response with that would be, aight, we'll do that. But y'all be careful. We don't mean be anxious, be fretful. Y'all go worry. You know, the term means something different now. And King Jimmy, when they wrote this, a lot of King James words have changed meanings. We don't say yea, verily, forsooth, peradventure, and hitherto anymore. And it doesn't behoove us to do much anymore, does it? We don't generally talk like that. But the word careful meant fretful or anxious. Don't be worried is what it meant. In that terminology, it's anxiety, a state of being uneasy, apprehensive, worried about what might happen, concerned about a possible future event that hasn't taken place yet, but it's a negative future event. It's believing for something bad to happen. That's all worry is, incidentally. It is a faith in reverse. You know, we talk about trusting God. When you worry, you're trusting the devil, really, in one sense. Not necessarily to personify the evil, because sometimes you're evil, not just the devil. You know, there's God, there's the devil, and then there's you. Hello. Sometimes we found the enemy, and he is us. But having said that, we are not supposed to live our life worrying. We're not supposed to live our life being fretful or anxious about things that haven't happened yet. Isn't that true? You're not worried about anything that has happened. You're always worried about something that hasn't happened. You're worried about losing something. You're worried about losing your life through sickness, disease, or losing a house, or losing a car, or losing a marriage. It's not something that's happened. It's something that hasn't happened. And so worry is putting your faith in it. Isn't that right? Okay. So if you go back to that verse that I quoted in the beginning, Isaiah 26:3, it says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, his mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." Then you wouldn't be able to worry about something that bad that hasn't happened, because you'd be trusting God to take care of it. Isn't that right? And your mind would be focused or fixed or stayed on God, and you wouldn't be anxious or fretful or apprehensive, because you'd know that, you know, it hadn't happened yet, and we're believing for God to take care of it, so we're going to have peace now, even though nothing's changed, it's going to change. You know, it was Mark Twain that said, "I've been through a lot of terrible tragedies in my life, some of which actually happened." Hello. And we start repeating, you know, we'll have a bad situation took place, and then we start repeating that scenario in our head, and it doesn't happen. Most of what we worry about does not take place. Yeah. That's a fact. I mean, do you know what you were worried about 10 years ago? I dare say any of us could even think of what it was. And probably laid awake at night about it at the time. And right now, we don't even remember what it was, because it never happened. Hello? Or maybe we had a bad experience in our life, and we try to replicate that the rest of our life. And we think, you know, I had a problem with women. So women, they're all bad. Boy, women are bad. Women are bad. And women say they had a problem with a man. Oh, men are all bad, you know. Oh, come on. Get back on that horse and ride it. I'm not talking about your wife or your husband. You need to get back up. You've been thrown? Well, we've all been thrown. Another Mark Twain quote. I don't like quoting Mark Twain, because he really wasn't a godly man. But he said, if a cat sits on a hot stove, he'll never sit on a hot stove again. But the problem is, he'll never sit on a cold one either. Yeah. Are you out there? Because, see, we're thinking about the hot stove. We're thinking about the bad experience. People get burned in a relationship, and they close themselves off. Yeah. Don't they? Don't you do the same thing? Man, I've been burnt. Last time I did, I got burnt so bad. See, and you get gun shy. Yeah. You get gun shy. That comes from, you know, shooting a gun around an animal or a horse, and the horse got gun shy. He would, you know. Don't get gun shy. Yeah. You're not doomed to repeat failure. Not doomed to repeat sin. You're not doomed to repeat crisis. Hallelujah. The Lord is our shepherd, and we shall not lack. He leads us by the still waters. Amen. Praise God. Surely goodness and mercy will follow us all the days of our life, and we'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We're blessed and can't be cursed. We've been blessed by the best. We're too blessed to be stressed. I read this one time in a book. It's called Don't Sweat the Small Stuff, and It's All Small Stuff. You ever heard that book? This is a pretty good quote. It says, most of us get into certain habits, ways of reacting to life, particularly adversity, that don't serve us very well. In short, we live our lives as if they were one great big emergency. Hello. Mountains out of molehills, you know, world crisis. Often we allow ourselves to get all worked up about things that upon closer examination aren't really that big a deal. You ever been there? Or you know somebody that has? I know you want to get this CD and take it to somebody that wasn't here, that needed to be here, but man, you wish you'd brought them, don't you? Okay. But that's all in your head. That's what you think about all the time. See? And the Bible says, be careful, fretful, anxious for nothing. Nothing. Don't be apprehensive and worried about things, little things, big things. Oh, come on. Let's turn it over to the Lord. That's what he goes on to say. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. I mean, have a habit of praying about things. Not, oh, here we go again. Oh, I can't believe that happened. Are you with me? No. Father, I come to you in Jesus' name. I bring this before you. I bring this situation before you. Father, I am doing what you say to do. I am not going to be fretful. I am not going to be worried. I'm going to pray about this, and I'm going to bring this before you, and I'm going to thank you with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, here comes the peace, see. Why has the peace come? Because you're focused on something else. Your mind is wrapped up in God bringing something good to pass, turning this thing around, hallelujah, answering your prayer. Your mind, as far as the future is concerned, has God in it. Thou wilt keep in perfect peace of mind stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. Hallelujah. This God of peace.
Yes.
Amen. God of comfort. Yes. In Jesus we have peace. I don't know where you are. There's a lot going on in our country today. There's a lot going on with the election. If you hadn't heard, there actually is an election going on. And it can be very disconcerting on whatever side of the fence you're on, even. I mean, when you look at our country, you look at where it is, and you look at the options and what we're looking at down the road, and you look at the world and our situation in the world, and you look at our leadership or lack thereof. You know, a lot of things can go on in your mind. It just, you feel boxed in. You feel like, what are we going to do? This is not the country I grew up in. This is not the America that I, but slow down, back up. This is still Christianity 101. I'm still a Christian. God is still on the throne. God's word is still true. Are you with me? My God still supplies all my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Are you with me? God still loves me. He so loved the world, gave his only begotten son to whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's me. I believe in Jesus. Hallelujah. I've confessed with my mouth the Lord Jesus. I believe in my heart that God raised him from the dead. I am saved. Hallelujah. Whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I did that. I am saved. That hadn't changed. Some things never change. There's nothing's going to change that. Nothing's going to shake that. You see, the devil didn't make me, and the devil can't shake me, and the devil can't break me. Hallelujah. Because I've been made by God Almighty. Hallelujah.
Yeah, that's right.
And you think about the Bible and all the things that took place and with Peter and James and John and with Paul and his amazing miracles and provisions and so on that took place. You know, they did that under a Roman Empire. Are you out there? So we need to pray for our government. We need to pray for our country. But our peace doesn't come from the government, and it doesn't come from our country. This country needs is Jesus.
Amen.
And we pray for this country.
Amen.
You know, for revival in our country. But I already have him. Do you? And the peace we want to pray on this country, I've already experienced, and you have too. Hallelujah. Y'all out there?
Amen.
Think about it. It's a mindset. You're not trapped. You're not in a box. Are you kidding me? You're more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. You got the victory in Christ Jesus. He always calls you to triumph in Christ, the Bible says. You're a world overcomer. You got peace like a river.
Yeah.
See, that's what Isaiah 48, 17 and 18 says. It says, thus saith the Lord thy God, thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, that teacheth thee to profit, that leads you in the way that you should go. Oh, that you had hearkened to my commandments. Then had your peace been like a river and your righteousness like the waves of the sea.
Amen.
Man, I love that. God will teach us to go over. He'll teach us to profit. He'll teach us to make it when nobody else is making it. Are you with me? And if we'll hearken to his commandments and do what he says, you have to listen. You have to meditate on, think on. There's the mindset again. If you'll meditate on what God says, then your peace will be like a river. Isaiah 48 verse 18 is where it says, your peace will be like a river and your righteousness like the waves of the sea. That's good stuff. Amen. God says that your children will be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children. Isaiah 54, 13. I believe that's right. Isaiah 54, go read the whole chapter. It won't hurt you to read the whole chapter. And I think about Proverbs 3, where it says, my son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. It says, for length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Oh, wow. Man, that's good. See, there's a bunch of good scriptures on peace. But there again, there are things that you have to start meditating on, thinking on, when the tragedy comes, the crisis comes, or the fear comes, or the anticipation comes, or the bad news comes. You know, there's all kinds of reports in the world. We've got God's report. I'm going to believe the report of the Lord. Sometimes you get a bad report from the doctor. God bless the doctor. Thank God for all doctors are doing and what they're trying to do to help suffering, sighing, dying humanity. We're four doctors and four hospitals and four medicine. But you know, if you get a bad report from them, that's not the final word on it. We got another report. Amen. And the question is, whose report are you going to believe? Thank you for your enthusiasm. I'm sorry to tell you, and I got good news for you. God loves you, and he's for you, not against you. I'm sorry if you wanted bad news, but I just don't have any. Seventh verse. Philippians 4, verse 7, "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Notice how he puts that in. He didn't say shall keep your bodies, because your body doesn't, peace and anxiety and all that didn't come from your body. It comes from your mind. I mean, the Bible doesn't talk about giving your body peace. Hello. And your body doesn't worry. Now, it may sweat, but it doesn't worry. Well, worry's in your head, see. Your head is where your head is. And so God, if he can calm your mind, see, and calm your spirit, your heart, your spirit, your soul, then obviously he's got you, because that's it, man. If you can get this straight, if you can get your heart and your mind straight, everything else will straighten out. Everything else will line up, as it were. If you'll do this, if you'll not be fretful, worried, or anxious about anything, but if by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving you let your requests be made known unto God, then the peace of God that passeth all understanding shall keep or guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Now think about it. It passes all understanding. I know in tragic situations I've prayed for that peace on people's lives. I've prayed it on my life. I know you've claimed it in your life. It seemed like there's no way possible I could ever have peace in this situation. Yet the peace that passeth understanding is the kind of peace he gives. I know when someone loses a loved one, or, you know, and they go on to be with the Lord, and they're left with this vacant, this hole, this emptiness, you think, oh, my God, I can't make another day. And yet somehow, some way, and I hear it over and over, I've heard it funeral after funeral, home going after home going, you know, it's just like the peace of God just came on me and just took over. I don't know what I'd done without Jesus. I hear people say that, family members say that. I tell you, I've just had such peace. I mean, I've had peace and I've had comfort. No, there's pain, there's hurt, there's loss. I got that. But there's been a supernatural peace also that's come. That's the peace that passeth all understanding. And that thing keeps us, that peace, that just keeps us, doesn't it? But it comes from turning this over to the Lord. Whatever the situation is, turn it over to the Lord. Peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And then he lists several things to think on. Everybody say think. Okay, now here's something you can't control. You can't control the fact that you think. But you can control the facts you think on. You can't control the fact that thoughts come. But you can control which thoughts you think on. A bad thought come, don't think on it. Let's have some discipline here. Let's bring some things into captivity. That's what the Bible tells us. The weapons of warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. 2 Corinthians 10:4-5 is where that is. So let's captivate what we think on. Don't think on going under. Start thinking on God showing up. Don't think on losing. Think on winning and giving a testimony in the church next week. Don't think on losing everything you got, but think on some supernatural event that God moves in your life and takes that mess and makes a message out of it, takes that test and makes a testimony out of it. Amen? Just turn it around. Put God in the equation. Don't leave him out. He's the ultimate fact of all facthood. Why would you leave him out of the equation? Let's put him in the equation. Let's think about it. He loves us. He's for us. He's not against us. He's given us great and precious, exceeding great and precious promises. He's not a man he'd lie, nor the son of man he'd repent. He's the Lord God. He changes not. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. What he did then, he does now. He doesn't love anybody more than he loves me. We're all the same. He loves us all the same. Amen. If I call on him, he'll answer me and show me great and mighty things which I know not. Hallelujah. He's just waiting on me. I'm not waiting on him. He's waiting on me to call. Man. Sitting by the phone. Got caller ID and everything set up. All you got to do is call. He knows who it is. Finally, brethren, 8th verse. Everybody say finally. And I love this because he says finally, and I think it's several verses later, even the next chapter before he closes. It's kind of like when I say in closing, it doesn't mean anything. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true. Okay, what is the truth? Well, the truth is God's word, isn't it? The truth is what God says. So now, in this situation you're all upset about and all out of whack about that you've made a mountain out of a molehill out of, this world crisis that you've got going on in your life, whatever it is, what is the truth about it?
Yeah.
Well, I can tell you what the doctor says, or I can tell you what the bank said, or I can tell you what this happened, that happened, I can tell you what, okay, but the truth is what God says. Mm-hmm. Isn't that right? Those are all facts maybe, but this is the truth.
Yeah.
And the truth always overcomes the facts, right? Yeah. So what is truth? Whatever things are honest, honorable, honest. What's the honorable? What would be the right thing in this situation? What would be a good thing in this situation? I love that. Whatsoever things are just, that's innocent, holy, just, and righteous. What, is it just for you to go under? Is it just for you to lose? Is it just, no, I can't say that. Whatsoever things are pure, innocent, modest, perfect, clean, I like that. Whatsoever things are lovely, I like that. You know, I grew up when people ask you how you're doing, you'd say lovely, or dandy, or marvelous, you know. Whatsoever things are of good report, is a good report that you're going to lose everything, good report that you're going under, a good report that you're not going to make it, that's not a good report. Come on, somebody needs to win. Somebody needs to come off that mountain and slay that giant. We can't all be shaking in our boots. Somebody's going to have to, somebody like David is going to have to go down here and kill this giant. It might as well be you. If there's any virtue, that's power. Well, is there any power? Yeah, God's got lots of it. Whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things of a good report, if there being a virtue or power, if there's any praise, think on these things. One translation says, take an inventory of these things. Stop and think, this situation that's bugging you, this situation that's keeping you awake at night, stop and make you a list of things that are true and honest and just and pure and lovely and good report and powerful and praise, and think on those things. Are you with me? And you know what happened? Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen and me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. So how does God show up and how does that peace come? It comes by what you're thinking on. Man, that's good stuff, isn't it? New Living Translation says in verse 8, where it says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true. He goes on and says, fix your thoughts. Wow, I love that. My heart is fixed, trusting the Lord. Psalms 112 tells us that. I want to have a fixed heart, a fixed focus. Faith is a focus. Faith is not turned to the left or the right. Faith is locked in. Faith, walking on the water takes you looking at Jesus and not taking your eyes off Jesus. If you're going to walk on the water, you can't look over at the wind and the waves like Peter did. That's when you begin to sink. You start sinking with stinking thinking. Now, thank God Peter walked a little ways. I'd rather be a wet water walker than a dry boat sitter. At least he got up. At least he stepped out. Amen. But you know when he fell? It's when he got his eyes off Jesus. He lost his focus.
Yeah.
He lost his fixation with Jesus and his word.
Yeah.
You need to be fixated with the word. Amen?
Yeah.
And let me read you something else. This is it's also out of Don't Sweat the Small Stuff. This helping anybody?
Yeah.
Okay, well, you need to tell your face because I'm not getting it. Okay, is it helping anybody?
Yeah.
Okay, that's better. All right. Unhappiness doesn't and cannot exist on its own. Now think about this. Unhappiness is the feeling that accompanies negative thinking about your life. In the absence of that thinking, the unhappiness or stress or jealousy can't exist. There is nothing to hold your negative feelings in place other than your own thinking. The next time you're feeling upset, notice your thinking. It will be negative. Remind yourself that it's your thinking that is negative, not your life. This simple awareness will be the first step in putting you back on the path toward happiness.
Amen.
It takes practice, but you can get to the point where you treat your negative thoughts in much the same way as you would treat flies at a picnic. You shoo them away and get on with your day. I like that. Isn't that good? So, you know, negative thoughts, they're going to come. Don't meditate on them. Don't grab, just shoo them away and go on with your day. And replace them with God's word. When something happens, call on God, amen? And then find out what God says, and then trust God, and then start talking about what God says is going to happen, is going to happen. Romans 8, turn there with me if you will. Hallelujah. Peace. See, the Bible's full of principles. It's full of how-tos, as it were. It's a manual for living is what it is. We are Christians. We're believers in Jesus. We've accepted him, received him. We're Christians now, believers. But, you know, there's ways to live that are going to bring you peace and joy, and there's ways that are just going to bring you, you know, negativity. I'm saved, but, you know, there's still principles. Sowing and reaping still works, be it good or be it bad. I'm saved, but I can step off the roof, and I'm going to hit the ground. That's called gravity. And it doesn't matter how saved I am, I'm still going to hit the ground if I jump off the roof. That doesn't all of a sudden done away with. It's still there. And so God's trying to help us here with our minds and with our soul, you know, to start meditating on him, because it's the best way to live. It's the most positive way to live. It brings the most peace to believe in Jesus. Are you kidding me? To know that he loves me, he's for me, he's going to come through for me, that all I got to do is call, hallelujah, on that name, and in the name of Jesus, everything will turn around. Everything will be made all right. That it may take time. I may go through some stuff, but I'm going to go through. I'm not going to stay there. I'm coming out the other side, hallelujah. And I'll have a testimony when it's all over. That brings me great peace. I still fight battles. We all do. But we can have peace in the midst of it. Rejoice. The Bible said, you know, James said, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptation. You know, because we can win this deal. You say, well, you don't know how bad this is. Well, things are looking right for a miracle, aren't they? I mean, they said, have you seen how big this guy is, Goliath? You seen how tall, how big he is? David said, he's so big, I can't miss him. I mean, there's two ways of looking at everything. Romans 8. Notice what it says in the fifth verse. They that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. They think on, they talk about, and isn't that true? You know, when I was in the world, I talked about the world, I talked about things in the world. If you work on a job with anybody that doesn't know the Lord, and they're just wild, and they party all weekend, they're going to come in to work Monday talking about their life and so on and so forth. Why? Because they're in the flesh. You know, they just need Jesus. I mean, we don't hate them. We're not against anybody. But you can see that. If you come back from a hunting trip, you're going to talk about hunting. You're going to talk about, you know, what you saw, and you can talk about where you were when you pulled that trigger or let go of that bow, whatever, you up in that tree or in that stand or stalking or whatever, and you start telling the whole story. I mean, you are talking that thing up, and if the other guy's been into hunting, he's listening intently. Hello. If you went fishing, it'd be the same way. And you ladies, whatever y'all do. You know what I'm talking about. Okay. So if you're in the flesh, you mind the things of the flesh, and you know, and that's, I'm not saying that's flesh, I'm just saying that just as a matter of analogy, it's not flesh to go hunting. Come on, that's just the right thing to do, isn't it? Come on, guys. All right. They that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, they that are after the Spirit do mind the things of the Spirit. See, we need to be mindful of the things of the Spirit, and we need to go after the things of the Spirit. And you going under is not something that God offers. You need to be going after what God offers, which is victory. Amen. Peace. Joy. Amen. Amen. But to go after it means that you're mindful of it and thinking about it all the time. Always thinking of how God can move in my life. Always thinking about what God can do. Always thinking about sharing this testimony, helping somebody else with this testimony, and going down to church and telling them this thing happened. Hallelujah, I can't wait. Tell somebody that Jesus came through again. Not, here we go again with another mess and another, no, here comes another miracle. Here comes another testimony. Amen. Here comes another message. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. When this gets over, everybody's going to see God in this, because there's no way I could ever get out of this without Jesus, and he's going to come through because he always does. And man, am I going to have a testimony when this is over. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Not for the mess, but for the answer, for the victory. So he says, for to be carnally minded, sixth verse, wow, is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Isn't that good? So what I think on brings life and peace, or what I think on brings death. It's kind of like Proverbs 18:21. It says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. what's coming out of our mouths, what's in our head, what we're thinking on, and we can bring life or death according to what we're thinking on and what we're meditating on. God's saying, let's meditate on what he says. Amen? Right knowledge, you might say it that way. Right thinking, say it that way. What I mind, what I think on, what I'm mindful of. So you're having a situation in your life and it's bringing you some pain and you're laying awake at night. The question is, what are you thinking on? That should be the first question. Not what you're feeling. Not the turmoil, not the twisted gut. Not the shakes or whatever's going on. What are you thinking on? You can do something about that. You can change what you're thinking on. Are you with me? And if you will change what you're thinking on, you can get the peace of God in your life. If you'll start worshiping God for the answer and start thanking him for showing up for his wonderful promises, hallelujah, and you'll quit thinking, you'll stop thinking about that other. You can't just stop thinking about something without replacing it with something. We don't live in a vacuum. But replace it with the Word of God. Get the Bible out. Find God's promises. God has much to say about you. Find out what he says. Call somebody up that's been through that and came out of it and that God blessed and listen to their testimony. Read some testimonies and get in church and hear some testimonies. Amen? God wants you to have peace. He does. It is not God's will that you be depressed. It is not God's will that you go to bed depressed and wake up depressed. In fact, the Bible says that's part of the curse in Deuteronomy 28 chapter. It actually says that you will lay and you'll lie in fear all day long of the future. And you'll say, would to God it were evening. And when evening comes, you'd say, would to God it were morning. And you'd dread the day and you'd dread the night. And that's a curse. That is not a blessing. And that is not God teaching you anything. That is not God's will for your life. God wants you to have peace. Jesus came to bring you peace. He made peace through Jesus. He is called the Prince of Peace, not the Prince of Depression. And he's the God of all hope and God of all comfort and God of all peace. And the kingdom of God is not meat or drink, but it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. May the God of peace fill you with all joy and peace through believing. That's what the scripture says. So I believe God will come through. How about you? I believe God cares about you. I know it sounds crazy, but he really does. He loves you. If he had a refrigerator, your picture would be on it. He is crazy about you. He's not mad at you. He's mad about you. And he sent Jesus to prove that very fact. Hallelujah. So cheer up. Praise God. Be of good cheer. Jesus said, I have overcome the world. In the world you have tribulation, but in me you have peace. Hallelujah. Stand up, give the Lord a shout and a hand clap. Woo! Praise God.